This is Derek Brose. This is Derek Brose of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We have all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
We are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. We've all stayed alive. You have no idea.
Hey everyone, this is Derek Brose of the Conscious Resistance Network, and today is Friday, November 6, 2020, and it's an interesting time to be alive. Before we go any further, I want to remind you guys to bookmark my website, theconsciousresistance.com, which is a place where you can find all of my content. You can find 8 years worth of reports that I've been doing as a freelance investigative independent journalist, originally based in Houston, Texas, now in Mexico. You can find my documentaries. We've actually, since being purged from YouTube about 2 weeks ago, as you guys know, we've actually been updating the website slowly, painfully, but surely, fixing all of our dead, broken YouTube links. And we are now, one of the things we're doing now is we actually have all of our documentaries back up. And I am actually storing them now on our own servers, on our private protected service, run by a anarchist, freedom-minded individual who is not going to censor us, not going to take down our videos. So we are increasingly putting our videos on our own servers. So you can still find them on social media and things of that sort. But no matter what happens, they're going to be safe on our servers, including our most recent mini documentary, which I hope that you guys have seen, whether you've watched it on Facebook or you've watched it on all the other platforms that we're on. Again, we're on Float. Actually, we're live right now on Float, which is this little blue ship. I have my hand over here. On the right side of your screen. We're also posting everything on Minds, on Hive, on the Hive blockchain. We send out text alerts. We have about 600 or 700 people on our text, on my text list. I would love to have all thousands of you who follow me across various platforms join this text list, because that way I can tell you directly to your phone when I'm going live or if somebody's trying to censor me. All of our videos are also live on BitChute and Library/Odyssey. I've been updating that and fixing that. And we also have a Telegram channel for the Conscious Resistance, as well as I have my own Telegram channel that you can find. It's called Derek Brose's Daily News, and it's linked in the video below. If you go to theconsciousresistance.com, see the link for today's show, you will find the link to my Telegram channel. And I basically post all the articles and videos I come across in addition to the articles I write and the videos I produce. And if you want to support us, finally, you can do so on patreon.com/Derek Brose. But the main thing I want to say is, if you haven't seen the Darkest Winter documentary, come over here and watch it. And this video right here is being played from our own servers. If that video doesn't work for some reason, I'm doing this now for all the videos. BitChute, Library Links, Minds, Float, and Hive, they're all listed right here below. And also the audio version right here. You can listen to it instead of watch it. I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for you guys to watch the content. And if you go to Library, you can download the content for free. And I don't care where you upload it. People have uploaded The Darkest Winter across Facebook, YouTube, different platforms. I don't care where you put it. I know that it's actually on ice.media right now, Ben Swan's website. Ryan from The Last American Vagabond posted it there. So it's getting out there. That's all I really care about. So now that we've said all that, just a reminder, we are purged, deleted from YouTube. We have an email list that you can sign up on our website. Unfortunately, we are using MailChimp right now. We're working on changing that because, as some of you may have heard, more and more people are also being censored through MailChimp. It's the censorship is applying across the board. I've also heard of people being censored through PayPal. The Conscious Resistance doesn't have any official PayPal accounts or anything like that. And we've never taken Google or YouTube money, so I don't have to worry about that. But just be aware that there is a potential for our email list in the future to get shut down. But the best way is always going to be to follow the website directly. And today's episode is 115 of the Conscious Resistance Live, which is my weekly, semi-weekly, whenever the hell I feel like it, podcast that I've been doing since 2012. Today's episode is called Election Confusion Distracts from COVID Camps, 5G Threats, and Dark Winter. And those are just a few of the stories that we're going to be covering today. We're going to focus on stories that I think are important. And while everybody is focused on election, they're not paying attention to the technocracy coming in response to COVID, as well as many other important stories that are going on in our world right now. So today's episode, other than the first story, we're going to talk a little bit about the election, of course, The rest of the episode will have nothing to do with the election. So if you came here for election news or to obsess and talk about Donald Trump or Joe Biden, this is not going to be the podcast for you, the episode for you. You can maybe tune in next week, because while there's some important things to note that we're about to get into, the rest of it is, as I say, a distraction. So the first story we're going to cover is going to be related to the company's Darktrace and Cyber Reason. We're going to talk about how they're connected to Israelis and how, as I covered in my Darkest Winter mini documentary, that there is an effort to completely create false division, a dark winter related to both COVID, but also related to the elections and the idea that there's going to be civil unrest. Of course, this is being played out in the media right now. If you guys have paid any attention to the media, unfortunately, this message is being put all over the place. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Then the second story we're going to get into is a little bit of an update on the Robert Mueller investigation into Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, and Roger Stone for the DNC hacks from 2016. Some important information that you're probably not hearing about right now because people are obsessing over the election, but it's actually important because, well, we'll tell you in just a moment. Then an update on Amazon and police working together. Those Ring cameras that a lot of you are putting on your doorbell, you need to get rid of them because they're spying mechanisms and you're actually contributing to the surveillance state by using them. And I've talked about that in past videos and articles. We'll get into all that. And then another fear confirmed, that while schools are saying they're fighting COVID, facial recognition is being adopted by many, many schools around the United States as part of, again, the technocratic state. Are you noticing a theme here? And then the final story is we're going to go over the CDC document showing that the CDC themselves is making preparations for quarantine camps, isolation centers, whatever you want to call them, in response to COVID-19. And this comes after several stories that I know you guys have come across related to quarantine camps, isolation camps being built in the coming months in Canada. And we already know for a fact that these things are happening in New Zealand, as well as people being locked down in Australia. So if you thought the United States was going to get away with it, then you aren't informed. Or if you're like Valerie Moore, who believes, and I can't believe anybody actually would say this after 4 years, that Trump is draining the swamp, she must be new here, that if you believe that Trump is draining the swamp, well, then I guess you just think all this CDC talk of quarantines and all this COVID stuff is just going to go away, that it's just about defeating Trump, right? It's just all about trying to get Trump out of office. Of course, those of us who understand that it's much deeper than that know that the parties are just puppets, the presidents are puppets, and that's why we're not focusing on the election this week. Because despite some talk of screwy things going on in the election and potential for the election to be stolen, and as I covered in the weeks prior to this, we know that the Democrats straight up said that they would not concede. Hillary Clinton told Joe Biden not to concede. Those are realities. But at the same time, we know that this is all scripted. As I was saying earlier, they want to create division. They want to push people towards chaos so that they can take advantage of that and declare martial law. Now, that could be under Donald Trump or it could be under Joe Biden. It doesn't really matter. The point is that these people have plans that are going to go forward, as Pei said, Agenda 21 or Agenda 2030, they're going to go forward one way or the other. It doesn't matter who's president. And if you still haven't got that, friends, I'm sorry, but you're not really, you need to go further. That's all I want to say. I don't want to demean anybody. I'm not trying to attack anybody, but I'm saying it compassionately. You're not fully awake yet. You're on the path, but you need to let go of the belief in of saviors and authority figures. And you also just need to study the man's actions, not his tweets, and see that Trump is not, you know, draining the swamp. And that is, of course, not an endorsement of Biden. Fuck Biden and all of them. I mean, I was watching some videos this morning. You guys ever really stopped and watched the videos with Joe Biden sniffing young people, young girls? Like, it's pretty disturbing. And if that guy becomes president, yeah, that's pretty sad. But it's even more sad if anybody thinks Trump is going to fix things. All right, so let's get into this first important story here. This is coming from Whitney Webb's website, Unlimited Hangout. And I know Whitney has had a few contributors to the website. Whitney, of course, is a co-writer with myself at The Last American Vagabond with Ryan Christian. And shout out to Ryan Christian and The Last American Vagabond and everybody who's been supporting Ryan, because he's also recently been purged from YouTube. And so Whitney has one of her writers, Johnny Vedmore, who's doing a good job here. This is from November 3rd, just a couple of days ago, on the day of the election was released. And it's about two companies, Darktrace and Cyber Reason, intelligence front companies, as he says, seeking to subjugate the world with an AI singularity. And now I really recommend digging through this article yourself. As always, I'm not going to read articles to you. I'd really prefer for you to read on your own. But what the meat of this is, For one, many of you have probably heard of Cyber Reason. If you've watched my Darkest Winter documentary, or if you've listened to any of Whitney Webb's articles on Cyber Reason, you know about the Operation Blackout simulation. As I mentioned a few moments ago, they simulated what might happen in the 2020 election, and several of them, you know, these things resulted in the election being in chaos, and, you know, hackers and just all kinds of chaos ending in martial law, or the military, the Supreme Court getting involved in the presidency. A lot of the things that we're seeing play out. This is why I'm saying it's being scripted. And this was scripted by Never Trump or Republican neocons, as well as left-wing people who hate Trump and more associated with like the Biden, Clinton, Obama faction, which is why I understand when some people think, see, the Democrats are trying to steal it from Trump because he's a good guy. But to believe that, you have to believe that Trump's a good guy. To believe that Trump's a good guy, you have to ignore the evidence of what he's been doing for the last 4 years. We've covered that in past videos. Those of you who think I'm incorrect, I challenge you to challenge yourself and look at my information that I've covered over the last 4 years, both in articles and video, showing that Trump is more the same. But as long as you know, we're talking about that, just again, I want it to be clear that this is not an anti-Trump thing. I think that both Trump and Biden are both playing their roles, as all presidential puppets do, because nobody gets to that level of power without being approved. And in the Cyber Reason simulation that ended in election chaos, we talked about how this company, Cyber Reason, is not just some random company. They have connections to Israeli intelligence, specifically the well-known Israeli Unit 8200 that some of you might have come across in your research over the years. This is a very elite hacking squad, you could say. They're a group within Israeli intelligence, and they are definitely involved in a lot of screwy things. As we know, Israel was involved in 9/11. And of course, saying that gets you banned on Facebook and YouTube, but it's the truth. And I've covered that in past reports and documentaries over the years. So another company, though, that we need to know about and they talk about is called Darktrace. So Cyber Reason is one company that was involved with Operation Blackout and the simulation of the 2020 election. Darktrace is also involved in similar things. And this is really interesting. So the writer here says, Johnny says, that the members of Darktrace are open about their aims. They talk about how publicly held data should be the right of anybody to sell around the world. Because remember, data is the new oil. We've been hearing that for years. And that's part of the fourth industrial revolution, which is part of the Great Reset, which is basically the New World Order put into new terms, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. They're just rebranding everything and they're using COVID as the excuse. So they talk about how this company has been growing. They first launched their website in 2013. And the description of their company back then was titled The New Normal: Learn Human and Machine Behavior to Reduce Cybersecurity Risk. Now think about that. This company, Darktrace, was using that phrase, which is not just a phrase you hear all the time prior to COVID, way back in 2013, the new normal. And here we are in 2020 and COVID nonsense and the new normal is being plastered everywhere since the beginning of March. And you know, we need to continue to reject that new normal every step of this way. Like, that's what we need to remember, is we always need to reject their new normal. Everything that they're trying to push us into by force or otherwise, we should reject, and we should recognize that we have to get organized. I see a couple questions. Lauren asks, should we buy emergency food to help prepare for what the future may hold? And I would say yes, Lauren, that everybody who has the ability should be stocking up on extra food and supplies and various things that make you feel safe. I'm not here to tell anybody how to do that or, you know, go about that, but I do think that is a valuable tool and a tip that everybody should be doing to prepare for anything that may come. That is why I put out the Darkest Winter mini documentary. That is why I just led a group of about five people, five different vehicles coming back from the US to come to Mexico because they're concerned with what's going on. So yes, be prepared in any way you can. Get prepared in any way for what might be coming. And even if nothing happens, the idea of preparation is to be prepared for that day that it might be necessary. And it's always better to be prepared than not. So this company, using the new normal phrase back in 2013, connected with Israeli intelligence. And I'm just going to give, again, a few examples. You guys should really, really go read this article. So Dave Palmer was an MI5, which is British intelligence, anti-terror agent working on the 2012 Olympics, when he and some of his colleagues first hashed out the idea for what would become Darktrace. They wanted to create an AI cybersecurity system that was based on the human immune system, a system that differed from traditional reactive antivirus software approach. The system would look for abnormalities in a computer network's processes to target a wide range of more sophisticated cyber issues. And he'd spent 14 years working for MI5 and the GCHQ, which are both British intelligence spy agencies. And he eventually would approach two mathematicians from Cambridge University to put this whole project. And they're working on essentially the singularity, trying to work on some pretty scary AI stuff that you really need to know about. And then they installed the CEO, Poppy Gustafson, which, as this article shows, that in a talk that Poppy was giving to TechCrunch on stage, basically tried to gloss over the fact that the whole project was funded by, you know, somebody from British intelligence. And the journalist actually did a question. Natasha Lomas said, quote, "So did the maths research come first, or then you got together with the spies? Which way was it first? Which way was it?" And it says Gustafson squirms a little before saying, "It was exactly that. First, the machine learning that was talking about how to critique a computer to help understand itself. And then it was experts from the government's intelligence agencies who thought, ooh, this could be applied to the problem of cybersecurity." But as the article points out, that was an outright lie. She lied and claimed that they were working on this first, and then the British intelligence got involved, when it was clearly being built by an agent of British intelligence from the very beginning. And so it goes on to further all the different connections to Oracle, the big tech, and everything that this company Darktrace is connected to. And of course, it leads to the Israeli connections and how, you know, it's just made up of a bunch of intelligence agencies. And we can go even further, though, and see that one of the men that they talk about here, Wade, excuse me, where's his name? Where did he go? Jonathan Evans. Well, one of their board members is connected to Epstein and Maxwell connections. Basically, CIA stalwart Alan Wade is a member of the Darktrace advisory team, and he joined in May 2016. He also has connections. He co-founded Chilead alongside Ghislaine Maxwell's sister, Christine Maxwell, as Whitney Webb reported earlier this year. And again, this all leads to Israeli intelligence. So Darktrace, and then again, the aforementioned Cyber Reason, which we covered. Cyber Reason's co-founded by Israeli intelligence. Like, I mean, there's lots of pieces of the puzzle here that you need to understand. And prior, leading up to the election, this is a thing where people don't understand how much the media is controlled. You sit and watch some election report and you think that, oh, here's an expert that they say in cybersecurity telling me that the election, you know, ballots could be hacked or this or that danger is being posed. But you don't realize that all of these people appearing across the networks are connected to one company that's connected to intelligence agencies from both Britain and from Israel. And at the end, at the top, you see here, as they point out, in reality, it is a company partially owned by such defense giants as Lockheed Martin, and who has very close ties to the Israeli intelligence apparatus. Cyber Reason now has its AI-driven cybersecurity software running on some of the U.S. government's most classified networks, including numerous critical U.S. military systems. I mean, this is a recipe for disaster. And he gets into Operation Blackout and describes how that went. That's the election simulation that we talked about. And yeah, this is really important article. I really want you guys to read this. But the point is that, I mean, it connects to Carbine 9/11, which is connected to Epstein. These companies are appearing on TV being promoted as experts right now. They're being promoted as the people we should tune into, we should listen to, we should trust when it comes to what's going on with the election and whatever's to come. And I guarantee you, if there is some sort of hacking of the election, or if Trump or Biden claim that, you know, the votes were hacked, and we've already seen some of this talk, even if it doesn't happen on this election, it seems like they're amping up and working towards something. But I would expect to hear the name Cyber Reason more often. They're going to be put in front of you as experts. They're going to be promoted as the people we should listen to. And that's something we should be very skeptical of as we move forward. And I'm looking over here on, let me just show it on screen, because again, we are live on Facebook on a few pages. And thanks to everybody who's watching on Facebook. But I want to recommend that you guys leave Facebook right now and go to the float.app. page/conscious resistance/live. This is where we are right now. I'm showing you guys on screen. Over here, we have a question. Says, what are your thoughts on a potential EMP false flag attack? I think that there is the potential for that as well, because in addition to everything I just covered with Cyber Reason and what's going on with that, there has also been talk of election tampering and with EMP potentials coming about. I think you guys can see my camera battery is probably about to die. I'm going to have to switch cameras. But there's been talk of by the DHS and others for months that there could be an EMP attack on the U.S. systems as well. So whether it comes in the form of an EMP attack or some false flag cyber attack, again, you do need to be prepared for anything. You need to be prepared for the potential that something really dark is coming this dark winter, whether it's they blame it on COVID or they blame it on hackers or election chaos, civil unrest. I mean, all of these things are kind of coming together and coalescing at once. And it's not something that either side should be cheering on. I don't really want to talk about the election, but let me just say, if you're out there thinking that your guy is being, the election's being stolen from him, or the other side's trying to cheat, it's probably true, because every election involves cheating, and they're always rigged. I mean, it's not a big change. It shouldn't be a big change or surprise to anybody. But at the end of the day, if we actually want to move past those systems, guys, we're going to have to realize that it's all a show and it's all bullshit. And we shouldn't invest our time or energy into that. Don't go to the streets, try to protest and riot against other people. Don't turn against your neighbor. Keep realizing that this is what the predator class up there wants. They're mining your minds for your emotions, for your spirit, and they're trying to control and manipulate you by guiding you exactly where they want you to be. So don't forget that. Now, our next story that we're going to cover relates to Julian Assange. And this one's just going to be brief. It's just worth mentioning because, again, with all the COVID hysteria and now the election hysteria, people are freaking out and they're also not paying attention. This was published the day before the election, like literally the night before the election. And I don't think that's a coincidence that some editor decided this would be a good time to publish this because it sort of sweeps it under the rug. New, Mueller investigated Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, and Roger Stone for DNC hacks. And here's the big thing. This is all we really need to say. Previously secret portions of the Mueller report show the special counsel declined to prosecute against WikiLeaks and Julian Assange and Roger Stone for the DNC hacks due to a lack of evidence. So, just want to put that out there. Again, read this BuzzFeed. I'm not usually a supporter of BuzzFeed, but Jason Leopold does generally do good work. And I think they're trying to memory hole this by publishing this right before the election. But it says prosecutors investigated Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, and Roger Stone for the hacking of the Democratic National Committee servers, as well as for possible campaign finance violations, but ultimately chose not to charge them. So that's the important part. I'll fix my camera in a second. I think I just went black. So they chose not to charge them according to newly released portions of the Mueller report. You guys understand this, right? Trump was being investigated for impeachment. And as part of that process, they were blaming WikiLeaks and saying that WikiLeaks or the Russians were involved in some way in hacking the DNC and leaking these files, as opposed to the idea that Seth Rich, who worked in the DNC and who was murdered under mysterious circumstances, was involved in some way. And here they go ahead and publish this the day before the election, saying that according to new portions that we didn't tell you existed before, now we see that there was not enough evidence to even charge WikiLeaks or try to go after them for the alleged hacks. Although WikiLeaks published emails stolen from the DNC in July and October 2016, and Stone, Roger Stone, a close associate of Trump, appeared to know in advance the materials were coming, investigators, quote, did not have sufficient evidence to prove active participation in the hacks or knowledge that the electronic thefts were continuing. In addition, federal prosecutors could not establish that the hacked emails accounted to campaign contributions benefiting Trump's election chances, and furthermore felt that the publication might have been protected by the First Amendment. So they didn't think they could prosecute anything. The fresh details of this Mueller's decision not to charge WikiLeaks, Assange, or Stone for their role in influencing the election comes just the day before voters head to the poll. So they claim that this was released, and this could be more on the government's fault as opposed to the journalists holding the story. But either way, the fact that this is released the day before a new election, and I mean, there it is, guys. That's the proof from the government themselves, from the Mueller report. So for all those people who are like, the Mueller report, it shows this or that. And, again, it's just soap opera drama in the mainstream political scene. It's something that we don't need to even focus on. And as my buddy Doug said, CrowdStrike has also admitted under oath that they never proved the Russian hack. That was another part, Doug, as you know, that was recently reported on, but then kind of just swept under the rug. The mainstream just didn't even touch it with a 10-foot pole because it completely destroys their narrative. Please do find the stories at theconsciousresistance.com if you want to get plugged into what we're covering here today. And I do hope and encourage you guys to share that WikiLeaks story because it's not something that you're going to see covered elsewhere. I mean, BuzzFeed published it, but how many people even paid attention after all the election nonsense started? Now let's move on into our next story, right? This is something that I think is extremely important. I want to reiterate, guys, if you live somewhere and you have a doorbell camera, especially a Ring doorbell camera, which is made by Amazon, I would encourage you to get rid of it as soon as possible. Now, I know many people believe these things are valuable and they can be helpful for catching criminals. And I've seen examples of that. I understand that they do serve that purpose. People have told me, well, my packages got stolen, and I had to use this thing to help catch the bad guys. And like, there's real world examples of just how this could be valuable. However, at the same time, Ring and Amazon have been working together for years. Ring was first an independent company and it was bought by Amazon. And Amazon has been working also simultaneously on facial recognition software, what is known as Recognition with a K. And I've been writing about this for a number of years as well, telling people that, guys, you're helping them build the facial recognition database. Because what's going to go on now is that as Amazon is building their facial recognition software called Recognition, they are also partnering and working with Ring, installing doorbell cameras all around the country, probably the world at this point. And there has been talk and discussion of them attaching their facial recognition doorbell, you know, their facial recognition stuff into the doorbell camera. So we're at that point now where the cops are now starting to do a pilot program with these companies for a live stream from there. So now people are installing these cameras because they think it's going to keep them safe. And then the police are asking people to volunteer for a pilot program. This is in Jackson, Mississippi, which will live stream the security cameras, including Amazon Ring cameras, to the police database. So, I mean, that to me is just, again, people are helping build the infrastructure of the technocratic state by not questioning these things and just sort of embracing them. And some of us have been saying that this was going to happen for a while. We talked about that this would come to this point where they would use the facial recognition. And I've tried to talk to friends. I mean, and let me just sort of go on a brief rant here. I have friends, and this is not an attack on anybody, so please don't take it personal. If you take it personal, maybe you should think about why you're taking it personal. But I have friends who I know are very active and awake and aware of what's going on in the world, and yet they still totally embrace these things. They still completely embrace having, what is it, the Amazon Echo or the Google little thing, or what is their name, Siri, or just all these different things. And look, technology is valuable. I'm not anti-technology, but we have to question, we have to push back and not just blindly accept these things unwittingly and just welcome them into our homes. We are building the 1984 telescreen infrastructure. In 1984, Winston, the main character, talks about how they had telescreens on all the different rooms, and you could never tell when it was listening or watching. So you just sort of assume that it was doing that. Now people are putting smartphones into their homes, and you know, they're welcoming them into their homes. They're welcoming the police. And so this is from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. It says, this is not a drill. Red alert. The police surveillance center in Jackson, Mississippi will be conducting a 45-day pilot program to live stream the security cameras, including Amazon Ring. Since Ring first made its splash in the private security camera market, the EFS has been warning of its potential to undermine civil liberties of its users and their communities. We've been especially concerned with Ring's 1,000 plus partnerships with local police departments, which facilitate bulk footage requests directly from users without oversight or having to acquire a warrant. While people buy Ring cameras and put them on their front doorstep to keep their packages safe, police use them to build comprehensive CCTV camera networks blanketing whole neighborhoods. This serves two police purposes. First, it allows police departments to avoid the cost of buying surveillance equipment, and it puts the burden onto you, the consumer, by convincing you that you need cameras to keep your property safe. And second, it evades the natural reaction of fear and distrust that many people would have if they learned that the police were putting up dozens of cameras on their block, one for every house. And I think that's a great point, because if you ask people to do it voluntarily, people feel like, oh, okay, it's, you know, I'm doing this on my own. And meanwhile, your neighbor's helping build a surveillance grid in your community and on your street. I mean, that's really dangerous. And I think that people need to question that. So perhaps one solution is, friends, because I like to be solution oriented here, is if you live in Jackson, Mississippi, or even if you live in a neighborhood that is starting to use these, you're starting to notice in your neighborhood, putting up flyers, passing out flyers, posting on Nextdoor.com, talking to people, sending them this article, talking about the dangers of giving into this surveillance grid and showing them that, hey, this is not some conspiracy. There are digital rights groups talking about this and trying to raise awareness about it. And unfortunately, a lot of people aren't listening. And it says here, police in Jackson, Mississippi have started this pilot program, which would allow Ring owners to patch the camera streams from their front doors directly to a police real-time crime center. And I know a bit about these real-time crime centers because I filed open records requests on them in Houston, Texas, where I'm from. And there's, for those who don't know, Houston has one of those. It's just like an office building with a bunch of people sitting at computers and a giant screen where they can see all kinds of camera feeds all over the city. And due to DHS gifts and funds, you know, of course, stolen tax dollars. Over the last 10 years, the Houston City and the police department have installed more than 1,000 cameras in and around the downtown Houston area and expanding out further and out. And as things grow, as we move into, say, 5G, this digital Panopticon is only going to become more acceptable, more available, and quicker and faster because 5G, the low latency, will help them speed up the facial recognition networks as well as other tools like that. And so they're using real-time crime centers, fusion centers, and other just data mining centers that were all launched after 9/11, of course, now in the, you know, the fight to keep people safe. And I'm sure as this progresses, this will be used to keep people safe from COVID. And they might use this to see if your neighbor is going outside when they're supposed to be quarantined, or maybe your neighbor left the house and they weren't wearing a mask, and we need to alert the police about that. Clearly, this could go really fucking wrong, and people need to wake up to that. So again, solution oriented, start printing out some flyers with maybe some simple links to these articles and talk to your friends and family about it. Try to keep your neighborhood free and help people understand that this shit's not good for you. In Jackson, Mississippi, this footage can now be live streamed directly onto a dozen monitors scrutinized by police around the clock. Even if you refuse to allow your footage to be used that way, your neighbor's camera pointed at your house may still be transmitting directly to the police. Think about that. So you don't even have to have one. Your neighbor's front door is aimed at you from across the street. They're going to see you coming outside to smoke a joint or just to enjoy a cigarette or to go watch the moonlight or whatever the hell you do. They're going to notice your patterns. They're going to notice when you come home and all kinds of stuff. I mean, this is about developing. And again, Amazon is developing massive AI programs as well, similar to the ones we were just talking about, as well as facial recognition programs. You put all this together and they're going to learn so much about how people live, how they operate, and that will eventually be used against you. So, yeah, and this kind of goes further than that. I recommend reading this article, but it was just another update. And let me show you one other story that's kind of related to that. As I said, I'm originally from Houston, and this is a story that I've been focused on for a while. Most recently, a couple months back, the Houston city of Houston and the police, Houston's mayor, Sylvester Turner, and the chief of police, they announced that they were partnering with tech companies to build a surveillance city. That's the way I interpret it. Maybe you interpret it differently. But Houston's Mayor Sylvester Turner and Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo, back in March, they announced that they were calling out for $8.5 million in funding for, quote, new technological enhancements, including working with Amazon's Ring doorbell camera and the company ShotSpotter. And I talk all about this in this article here. And you can find out more about that. I also look at what SpotShotter is. And in this video, it just shows me confronting city council basically about this issue and showing people how this is going to build a surveillance grid across the city of Houston if people don't pay more attention, if they don't do something about it. And it's not just Houston. Clearly, this is happening in places like Jackson, Mississippi. It's happening in places all around the country. And like I said, probably the world, because Amazon's growing more and more. And here's an article back from December 2018, Amazon's disturbing plan to add surveillance, face surveillance to your front door. So this is being worked on. You need to be concerned. You need to be aware of that. And you can find that link at theconsciousresistance.com. All right, let's check out some comments before we move on to the next story. I know we've got some people tuned in, and I always appreciate that. Tom says, yes, I'm doing everything I can to keep my dumb as shit 2006 television alive. I get used parts on Fleabay. The techno state be damned. Pace says, when people could have a safer community by actually talking to their neighbors and watching out for each other. Exactly. Building mutual aid and working together, essentially anarchism, decentralizing, connecting, building together, instead of just relying on the police and creating a control grid all around you. Ryan says, it takes time for people to hear the message and then to begin to live by the message. And that's very true. I agree that not everybody's ready to hear these ideas, but we're going to continue to broadcast this message and communicate these ideas every single day, because I think it's important for people who do see what's going on to recognize that they are not alone. I've been doing this for 10 years now, starting in Houston with the activist community, the Houston Freethinkers, and over 10 years of hosting meetings and working with people of all types, male, female, black, brown, white, purple, whatever, all colors and races and ages, I've seen that so many people realize that they are alone. And that they're the only one, or nobody else cares like I do. And really, it's just about coming together and bringing people together and trying to help people understand that the solutions are right in front of us. It doesn't involve supporting the cops. It doesn't involve supporting Joe Biden or Donald Trump or Kanye West or, you know, Bernie Sanders or any of these people. It involves, as pointed out, talking to your neighbors, getting to know the people around you instead of trusting the authorities. Reject the authoritarianism and get to know your neighbors, get to know your community. And I think we can actually start to find solutions. And with that in mind, I want to invite everybody to visit freedomcells.org. If you haven't checked out Freedom Cells, that is where we are building decentralized networks of individuals from all around the world, not just the United States, but active in Mexico, active in India and Australia and the UK. People are really organizing and pushing back and finding ways to opt out of these systems and to opt out of the technocratic state that's coming. Because if you stand by and you do nothing, my friends, when they come to basically say you have to get forced vaccinated to go to work, or you need to wear this bracelet to go to work, or you have to have this immunity passport on your phone, or you know you need to prove your health status for otherwise the cops are going to come to your house. Like, have you guys seen the trailer for that movie Songbird? I mean, total propaganda, total predictive programming. If you haven't seen this, go see the trailer and then tell everybody you know that it's all a bunch of propaganda, because it literally talks about something called COVID-23, but it shows our future. Maybe it's telling us where they want us to be in 2 to 3 years. It shows a world where people are all on some sort of immunity passport. They're locked down. They've been locked down for, I think, years at this point. And if your temperature rises, or if your health, you know, goes to a red alert that says you might have COVID, well, then it notifies the authorities and they come to your house to force quarantine you. This is the shit that these people have planned, and they're really putting it out in the open. So we need to realize that the answer is freedom cells. The answer is hives, hubs, pods, coming together as free, beautiful, powerful people, opting out of these systems and organizing together, building together. As people like Doug are out there working on freedom cells in their communities, we've got people in Australia, we've got people in Atlanta, Oklahoma, Texas, down here in Mexico. I mean, it is building, guys. Either get active and be a part of it, or sit by and do nothing, live in fear, watch the soap opera, because that's what it is, it's a soap opera. This week on this episode of America, election drama. Will Joe Biden or Donald Trump be president? It's all just drama designed to keep you paying attention and distracted and not focused on how you can take care of yourself. That's what it is, guys. So if you want to focus on that, you can do that. If you want to actually build, well, then come connect with us, because we are building the next stage of humanity. We are going to make sure that our children and our nieces and our nephews and our children's children and the seven generations and beyond that our indigenous communities have been talking about for generations, that they have a better way of life, that they have an option to live in a world that is not completely, totally digital and control grid. And the only way that that's going to happen is if we start building now. If we sit by and do nothing and acquiesce, or we're too afraid to act, or we're comfortable, right? Even when we're living in bad times or things are rough, a lot of people are generally like, well, I still got food in my fridge and I got 100 channels on TV, or I got all the YouTube channels I want and I've got AC and, you know, what do you mean the world's falling apart? Everything seems great. And if you feel that way, I'm happy for you, but you cannot deny the realities of what are coming, and that these families, the predator class, these people have planned for the great reset. So you can either sit by and be a victim of their plans by choosing to do nothing, and you and your children and your children's children and their children will suffer the consequences, or you can choose to be proactive. You can choose to move and to do what you think is best for your families. For me right now, being in Mexico, helping people get to Mexico, looking for land, building decentralized communities to prepare for what's coming so that I can help my friends and family and loved ones get out if they want to get out when the shit does get worse, because it's going to get worse before it gets better. I have to do that now. I don't want to get stuck locked down. But I also know that when the time comes, I will be back in the United States to help build and to fight if necessary. But in the meantime, what I'm focused on is how can we build so that we don't maybe have to fight? How can we build so that we can create the lives that we want now, rather than hoping that a vote for Trump or a vote for Biden or sitting around and doing nothing and just getting drunk with your friends all the time is going to fix things? We have to take action. And if you're a believer in Christ or Allah or, you know, any religion or even QAnon, listen, I guarantee you the creator, because I do believe in a creator, our creator does not want us to sit around idly and do nothing and assume that everything's taken care of. All we need to say is give a prayer and have a little faith and everything will happen on its own. No, we must manifest that reality, because we are creators. We are the creators that we're given this power from our creator. We can now manifest and create the world that we want to live in. We can either replicate the problems of the past and create a cycle. You know, revolutions talk about That key word is revolving, going in circles. We can either revolve and go in circles, or we can move forward and propel us forward as humanity seeks to do something better than what we've had, better than what we've seen. The choice is ultimately ours. And right now, in this beautiful chaotic time, that COVID is showing people that solutions are necessary, that maybe they should start taking care of themselves. Maybe they need to start listening to that crazy guy that was telling them to opt out of the system. And now with the election chaos, there's even more tumultuous feelings. People are really feeling on edge and they're worried, is Trump going to be a fascist or is Biden going to be a communist? But we need to let go of that. Let go of them. They're in here. And I've said before, and I heard it from the great radical native activist John Trudell, that this is the most important real estate that exists. The predator class, just like they mine the earth for its resources, they are mining our minds, because this is the most important real estate that exists. This space right between your skull, everybody's trying to get in there. And if they have you by the mind, by the spirit, by the balls or the ovaries, then you're plugged in 24/7 and they're controlling you. Where's your distraction? Oh, reacting to this, thinking about this, afraid of this, wanting that, buying this, consuming this. They've got you. You need to remove the shackles from your minds, my friends. Break free with your heart, your mind, your spirit, and your body, because they seek to control us both on the spiritual level as well as the physical level. So I guarantee you, the Creator does not want us to sit around and do nothing or to be distracted by the show. Our Creator, this creative force that exists within each of us, that each of us can call into and can pray and tap into and meditate and feel within our hands, within our bodies, within our hearts, within our minds, that is our opportunity to create and to build something better. And the predator class, which are simply the yin to our yang, they have recognized that they are creators as well. And they are manifesting this really crazy, fucked up, chaotic world that they have. And they're using the media and all of their, you know, their apparatus to use predictive programming, like I said, with that movie Songbird, they want to get the ideas in our head. Election chaos is coming. The other side's going to steal. What are you going to do? Are you going to fight your, you know, they're trying to plant the seeds in our heads already, because they know that if they can manipulate from the top, they will get us to contribute by manifesting the world that they want. So we need to take back our own power. We are power. You are power. Our minds, our bodies are power. We need to reclaim that power from them and choose to manifest the world that we want. Otherwise, we are simply a pawn in someone else's game. Sorry to go on a long-winded rant there. All right. Let's go ahead and let's cover the next story, guys. Once again, my name is Derek Brose. You're listening to the Conscious Resistance Live, episode 115, Election Confusion Distracts from COVID Camps, which we're about to be covering, 5G Threats, and Dark Winter. All of the links to everything we're covering can be found at theconsciousresistance.com on the post for today's show. And we'll be putting the links there. And after I finish streaming, because we're just live right now on Float, we're live on DLive, we're live on Facebook. Once I finish streaming, I download this video, I upload it to Minds, to BitChute, to Library, to my servers. It's a very tedious and time-consuming process, but I want to make sure that you guys have access to all of my content. So once we finish this, I will immediately download it and upload it. It'll go to Spotify. Please share it with your friends and family. If you think the information I'm sharing and the topics I'm discussing are important, please, that's the least that I'm asking of you, is just share. Get the information out there. Help other people see what we're talking about here. And again, I appreciate all the support that you guys offer in so many different ways. Everybody who follows me on social media, those of you who support me monthly on Patreon, those of you who actually read my articles, and all the great things that you do to help get this information out there. So let's get into our next story. This is, again, another confirmation that something that myself and many other people have been talking about for a while, that the COVID crisis is being used as a way to essentially manifest every single dark plan that the, you know, predator class could ever dream of. You know, and that's how you know that something isn't right with the whole COVID thing, is they couldn't have tried. They couldn't have basically organized this in a better way if they tried. Because if you think about it, the COVID nonsense, it checks off push towards cashless society, locking people down whenever you say, because there's a virus. It also pushes facial recognition. It pushes the technocracy forward with immunity passports and digital certificates and all that. It's pushing facial recognition in the schools, as we're about to discuss. I mean, it checks off so many boxes for the technocratic predator class that if this was a natural thing, which it's not, then, I mean, they would just be the luckiest people ever. I mean, and that's where that really comes down to the idea of whether you believe the accidental view of history, that things are all just a result of pure accidents and, you know, unexplainable phenomena that are just, oh, it's just life naturally unfolding, or you recognize that there's a conspiratorial worldview of history, not that everything that has ever happened in history has been a conspiracy or been controlled, but that there are a group of people and a group of families that have existed for centuries now who are manipulating and guiding world events. And like I said, you really couldn't have created a better solution for them. Schools adopt facial recognition in the name of fighting COVID. A Wired investigation finds dozens of districts have purchased thermal cameras to monitor fevers that can also identify students and staff. Oh, that sounds great. Turn the schools even more into prisons. As you guys know, the school's system is much like a prison right now, and it's becoming increasingly that way. In June, the school board in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, was facing a series of votes on the budget for an elaborate and expensive reopening plan. Among the big ticket items was a tablet designed to screen students and staff for fevers. The devices were sold by a company named OneScreen, which supplies schools with technology, including smart whiteboards and attendance apps. But this spring, it had pivoted. Its new products, called GoSafe, could scan foreheads for elevated temperatures and detect when students aren't wearing masks. Right there, like I just talked about in the last story about the Ring doorbell being outfitted with a facial recognition camera, they're already selling things in the schools that are going to, hey, we have a student in D Hall that is not wearing a mask. Swarm. It also came with a bonus top-of-the-line facial recognition, as a local vendor described it to the school board. District officials considered this a selling point. The tablets were pricey, $161,000 for 71 devices, but they would get the kids through school doors more efficiently than handheld thermometers. The facial recognition tech offered another benefit. The money would not necessarily go to waste as soon as a COVID-19 vaccine was found. Basically, they're like, hey, well, guess what? Even if COVID disappears after we get a vaccine, of course, well, we can still use these, right? We don't have to get rid of them just because COVID's gone. Oh, magically the agenda moves forward. The district could use the devices for other things like taking attendance and preventing intruders from entering schools. One school board member, Catherine Golan, was concerned. Facial recognition technology was new to her, and the features she noticed didn't seem especially relevant to the reopening plan. There were many unknowns. As she told Wired in an email, quote, particularly as it pertains to student privacy, civil liberties, storing and securing the data. And it just goes on from there. It's talking about how these things are being pushed around the country. And where did the money come from? Where are the districts getting the money to invest $171,000 in tablets that can scan your kids' heads and tell them where they're at? Many districts paid for the devices using funds from the CARES Act, the stimulus bill related to COVID that was $13 billion. Again, they're using the CARES Act and all the money that they associate with the fight against COVID to bring about the technocratic state. And as Erica Shariz is, Shiraz is saying, two countries already have isolation camps, Australia and Canada. It's actually three, New Zealand as well. We know for sure that Canada is working on them. They have contracts out, bids for building them. And as I'm going to talk about in the coming story, the CDC also has plans for isolation camps. So you better believe it's coming to the United States. Temperature taking devices are often seen as a critical component of going back to school. With a premium on tablet mounted cameras that can get the students in the doors quickly and with little staff intervention. Facial recognition is not a requirement for those devices or even involved in the process of taking temperatures. So they don't even need facial recognition to keep the kids safe, like, or to check their temperatures. But I'm sure that they will very soon sell them thermal cameras as well, so that they don't even have to touch the kids or look at the kids or have them be scanned by a tablet. They'll just have an AI camera that's all around the school that's scanning kids' temperatures everywhere they go. And if it rises too high, maybe they're out in recess and, oh no, little Johnny's temperature's going too high. Maybe he has COVID. Lock him up for a week. Or, you know, one of the kids are getting heated in debate class in high school and his temperature goes too high. And next thing you know, you got the school security guards coming to take him away to the school isolation centers. I mean, it's not going to be good, guys. And I really encourage you to look into this further, to read these articles. Again, they're all linked to theconsciousresistance.com. I do want to mention, though, when we're on the topic of temperature scanning, we actually did a video, I want to say a month or so ago, talking about a new study that showed the temperature scanners, they don't even work, and they're basically useless, and that more and more people were rejecting them. So a lot of this narrative is all based on lies. For one, it's built on the idea that COVID is the most dangerous thing ever. And so we have to do all this crazy stuff like implement facial recognition cameras and thermal cameras and all this sort of things. But we know that that's a lie. because COVID isn't what they've claimed it to be. It's not as dangerous as they originally claimed. We know that the tests are faulty. We know that the lockdowns are dangerous. We know that the economy was already faltering, but now this is definitely going to hurt the economy further. We know that there's food shortages that are being, again, telegraphed. We're being told that there's food shortages coming. You need to get ready. All this stuff is happening, and it's all in response to COVID that is not, as I said, as dangerous as they claimed. And now they get to remake the entire system. Yes, as Tammy's saying, the TSA for the schools, they get to remake the entire system and use COVID as the excuse, and it pushes the technocratic state forward. And that is their goal. That is the agenda. That is how you know that this is a part of the plan. And again, I don't have the exact evidence about whether they released a virus or they knew it was going to happen, but they just allowed it. I mean, it could go either way. But the point is that they're taking advantage of it. So we shouldn't get lost in the weeds about trying to figure out, well, did they cause it? Was it the Chinese or whatever? I mean, we might not ever get the answers, but it's clear that this agenda, this operation, the COVID-19 operation, is being taken advantage of by the technocrats. This brings us to our last story of the day here on episode 115 of the Conscious Resistance Live. Thank you guys who are all listening. Thank you especially everybody who's watching on Float and DLive. I see the comments over there. I really appreciate the comments on DLive and Float. And of course, everybody on Facebook, I just encourage you guys to jump over to Float and DLive. And you know, you can keep your Facebook account, but at least let's take our bandwidth away from them for this show and go to DLive or Float and watch the rest of this platform. So this relates to a growing trend that we are again seeing in response to COVID. And that is calls for isolation centers, quarantine centers. As I mentioned in previous reports, these things are already happening in Australia and New Zealand. If you guys haven't heard about what's happening in Australia, I want to invite you guys to go check out a recent interview I did with my buddy Dave from Mindful Militants. He lives in Melbourne, Australia, where they are in total lockdown. They have roving cops, they have checkpoints, they have cops going through people's groceries. I mean, the stuff that is already happening to our brothers and sisters in Australia is insane. It's disturbing. It's sad, but it's real life. It is happening. And even more so, lockdowns and quarantine centers in Australia are already a reality. Those things are already a reality. Hold on, let me answer this question. Ren says, DLive and Float. It's FLOTE.app/consciousresistance/live. Thank you guys. So it's already a reality. These things are already being built across nations. Australia and New Zealand, I would say, are the model. And many of you have probably come across recent stories about the Canadian government putting out bids for companies to build these quarantine centers across Canada in the coming months. They want them ready by March. And there's also another story, which I can't confirm, and I don't know if any of us can, that purports to be a leaked email from one of the members of the Liberal Party in Canada who supposedly heard this whole plan about what they're doing with COVID, including lockdowns beginning in November. And well, here we are in November and a lot of the world is starting to lock down again. But it also talked about the Great Reset, and it also talked about just plans to lock people down, to quarantine people. And again, this is a allegedly leaked email that I saw on some Canadian news websites, and I saw people sharing it out and it was sent to me. I can't confirm that, but we know for a fact, 100% fact, that the Canadian government is working on quarantine centers and isolation centers. And as this CDC document from that was last updated in July 26th shows, that they're working on a similar thing. Interim operational considerations for implementing the shielding approach to prevent COVID-19 infections in humanitarian settings. Don't you like how they get that out of the way real quick? Humanitarian. Want to make sure it's humanitarian. Let's learn more about these camps. That word is used quite a few times, and I feel like the word camps just doesn't make people feel very good. Because what do you think of when you hear camps? You think of like concentration camps, internment camps. I don't really hear somebody talking about camps, especially in relation to CDC and COVID, and think, oh, we're going on a camping trip. No, I think of a very not fun camping trip. This document presents consideration from the perspective of the CDC for implementing the shielding approach in humanitarian settings as outlined in guidance documents focused on camps, displaced populations, and low-resource settings. Population characteristics and demographics. So they talk about green zones. The number of green zones required may be greater than anticipated, as they are based on the total number of high-risk individuals, disease categories, and the socio-demographics of the area. Explanation. Older adults represent a small portion of the population and many camps in humanitarian settings. However, in some humanitarian settings, more than one quarter of the population may fall under high risk categories based on an underlying medical condition.
Additionally, many camps and settlements host multiple nationalities which require additional separation. For example, Kakuma refugee camp in Kenya. So they're talking about camps, refugee camps, right? But they're talking about using this shielding approach, talking about green zones, and just this is them outlining the infrastructure for how they could put this into fully operational mode for various types of camp. So they're calling it the shielding approach. As stated in the shielding document, each green zone has a dedicated latrine bathing facility for high-risk individuals. So if you get labeled a high-risk individuals, it sounds like they're going to put you in something called a green zone that's going to be a humanitarian center or camp, and considerations suggested by the CDC. The shielding approach advises against any new facility constructed to establish green zones. However, a few settings will have existing shelters to accommodate high-risk individuals. In these settings, most latrines are located outside. I mean, it's just, this is literally just them operational stuff. It says, if dedicated facilities are available, ensure safety measures such as proper lighting, hand washing, hygiene, maintenance, and disinfection of latrines. Ensure facilities can accommodate high-risk individuals with disabilities, children, and separate genders at the neighborhood camp level. Do you guys hear this? Children, elderly people, and separate genders at the neighborhood camp level. What the hell is a neighborhood camp? What is a humanitarian, what do they call it? A humanitarian setting when you're talking about isolating and quarantining? And I guarantee you it'll be done whether you want it or not. People who are potentially high risk individuals. Summary of the shielding approach, a household level, a specific room designated for high risk individuals who are physically isolated from other household members. Low-risk household members should not enter the green zone if entry is necessary. It should be done only by healthy individuals after washing hands. The minimum movement of high-risk individuals outside the green zone. Low-risk household members must follow social distancing and hygiene practices outside of the house. So they're saying on one level, the household level, if you have a high-risk individual, you can physically isolate them in their home. But then it comes to the neighborhood level. A designated shelter or group of shelters, maximum 5 to 10, within a small camp or area where high-risk members are grouped together. Neighbors swap households to accommodate high-risk individuals. Then at the camp sector level, a group of shelters such as schools, community buildings, or maybe a Walmart, with a camp sector with a maximum of 50 high-risk individuals per single green zone, where high-risk individuals are physically isolated together. No movement into or outside the green zone. And again, guys, I was just mentioning a moment ago, it's coming to my mind right now. We need to watch that freaking Songbird trailer. I don't want to watch it because it's going to give me a strike on Facebook, but go watch that Songbird trailer. I'm pretty positive they talk about green zones. And green zones is also military terminology that's been used in Iraq and Afghanistan as well. So that doesn't surprise me because Operation Warp Speed, as myself, Ryan Christian, and Whitney Webb from The Last American Vagabond have exposed, Operation Warp Speed is a military operation which was launched by the Trump administration, which has a former vaccine manufacturer, former executive of GlaxoSmithKline, Mr. Moncef Slaoui, at the helm of it. This is a military operation. They're planning to isolate people who are high-risk individuals or infected individuals in, quote, humanitarian settings using a shielding approach. They might let you isolate yourself in a room in your own house. They might take you from your house and put you in a shelter within your own neighborhood, or they might take you to a group of shelters, schools, community buildings, etc., and put you there and physically isolate you there where you have no movement outside the green zone. Guys, this is right in front of your fucking faces. And excuse my language, but God, is anybody else paying attention? I know a lot of you guys are, but this is what I'm saying. Look, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. I'm not trying to freak out, but I'm just saying this is on the CDC website. It's available. Go look at theconsciousresistance.com and you can see what's going on. You can find these links for yourself. This is real life being planned by the US government, the CDC. It's already happening in Australia. It's already happening in New Zealand. They're working on it in Canada. And I haven't seen any plans to do this down in Mexico. I think the Mexican people would handle it a lot different, but you should be prepared. You should be prepared for anything. This is not fear mongering. This is all about education. This is awareness. This is trying to keep my brothers and sisters of the human family aware of what's going on. If you want to see that CDC document, visit theconsciousresistance.com. Look at our post for today's episode, The Conscious Resistance Live, number 115, if you want to see the direct link to that document. And share it with your friends and families. Read it for yourself. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm misinterpreting it. Look at it yourself. Question everything. And if you see what I see, if you see what's coming, friends, start reaching out, having a heart-to-heart conversation with the people you love and care about. This is what I did when I went back to Houston. I talked to my my mother, my stepfather, my brother, my brother-in-law, my, you know, my family and friends and said, I'm worried about what's coming. Can you please get your passports just to be prepared for anything? Can you please stock up and get some extra food? Can you please make sure you can defend and protect your home? And these are real conversations. It doesn't have to come from fear. They don't even have to believe, like I said in the Dark Winter documentary, they don't have to believe what you believe. It's just, can we get our brothers and sisters and family members to understand that it's a good idea to be prepared for anything? And if you can't convince them of the technocratic state and what's coming, then at least maybe you can help them get prepared. And if they don't want to listen, then that's fine. There are many of us who are going to face and deal with those kinds of situations. And we take a moment, but we can continue to plant seeds. We can continue to offer solutions to our brothers and sisters and the family that we love that we want to reach. Because I don't think that, I know I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. And I know that you guys wouldn't even be bothering to listen to me rant on Facebook or DLive or Float if you didn't care. And the reality is my audience right now is cut probably one third or less of what it usually is since they've deleted me on YouTube. We're still getting views. We're growing on BitChute. We're growing on Library. But guys, if you're hearing my voice, I need your help more than ever to get this message out. And if you don't like my presentation, then put out your own information or go find another channel that you like the presentation and share it. I don't really care at this point. We just need to reach the people that we love and care about. We need them to understand what's potentially on the horizon and what we can do about it. And if you are concerned about solutions, I just want to offer this as one of them. I released a book earlier this year. It is available to download for free. If you want a physical copy, you can pay. If you want to download it and read it. It's called How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State. I released it on January 31st, 2020, right before all this COVID nonsense began. So the book doesn't even mention COVID. I had no idea COVID was about to happen, but I knew, like many people, that this is going to be the decade that we are pushing towards Agenda 2030. And this was before I even knew the term the Great Reset or any of that stuff. But I was writing, I've been, as a journalist, writing about facial recognition, writing about surveillance, seeing the writing on the wall for years and trying to wake people up in Houston and wake people up elsewhere. This is my attempt to put as simple as possible the philosophy and the strategies that I think are at least part of the solution and that you might be able to use to help your friends and families create more freedom. It's only Eight chapters is the main bulk of it. There's a second book in the back that's the last book of Samuel Konkin III, who is a big inspiration to my work. But my chapters, there's only 8 chapters on there. And if you don't know what technocracy means, you hear me say technocratic state, you want to read chapter 1, what is technocracy? Chapter 2, counter economics and agorism. If you don't know what that means, then again, you got to read this. Vertical and horizontal agorism. I share my experience living this lifestyle, opting out of the system, not using a bank account, pulling my money away from them, investing in cryptocurrencies and silver and alternative currencies, and trying to opt out of their system. And the second half of the book, I look at how is this possible as we are moving towards facial recognition, social credit score, immunity passports. It's going to be extremely difficult. How is it possible? Guys, the answer is community. The answer is freedom cells. The only ways we're going to thrive and survive through this is if we come together and work together. That doesn't mean you have to move to Mexico per se, but wherever you're living from, connect with people in real life. Talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, and seriously, make an effort. And I'm saying this to myself as much as you guys. I'm here in a different country where I speak some Spanish, but not fully to hold, you know, full conversations. But we were just talking about this last night with our growing freedom cell out here that we're going to start printing out flyers in Spanish and trying to educate the Mexican people about the lies of the lockdown and the potential of what's coming next and the concerns about vaccines and all these things. We have to make an effort more than ever to reach people. And if you want to check out this book, if you want to take some of the ideas, please do visit theconsciousresistance.com/how-to, and you can download the free copy here, or you can purchase a copy if you'd like. My point is that we have to focus on solutions now more than ever if we're going to actually have a real potential to direct the flow of history and to shape it in a positive way. This is why I'm here. This is why the Creator breathed life into me and brought me here and lit a fire inside of my heart and my chest. This is why I'm here. This is the only thing that really matters to me ultimately, is to fight for my love, for my family, my future family, and the people that I love and care about, and to be a part of the solution. I want whatever's coming to come now. If that means Donald Trump needs to be president so that more people wake up or, you know, see that the system is rigged, then so be it. If Joe Biden needs to become president so that more people wake up and things go where they're headed towards the Great Reset. I mean, the Great Reset's going to happen either way, but whatever way it needs to happen, whatever way they want to script the narrative, I don't really give a shit. So stop buying into these these cult figures, these wannabe saviors, recognize that you are power, we are power, and that we can create something beautiful. We don't need them. We have the potential to change the world. It's in our hands. It's in our hearts. It's in our minds. It's in our communities. We don't need them. They need us. They need your energy. They need your spirit. They need your time. They need your money, and they want your attention. Take it away from them. Take your life back. Grab it. Put it back into your hands and feel that power flowing through you, that creative energy that you were born with, and that is your right. Claim it. Claim that power. Feel it within your own hands and recognize that each of your brothers and sisters, no matter their race, sex, creed, religion, or birth, you know, place of birth, they have that same power. We all have that power, and we have the potential to tap into it. And the people who are running the show and trying to manipulate our world, they have been doing so and using that same power, but for their own dark purposes. It's time for us to reclaim that. It's time for us to fight for the seven generations, to fight for the future, and to fight for ourselves, guys. This is our opportunity. There has never been a greater opportunity right now than to change the world. We can do it. I know it. I've seen it. I've lived it. I've seen it, and I know that we can create this. It's going to be difficult. It's going to take time. It's going to take generations. We might die before we see it come to fruition. But if we don't start building now, we're only going to make the world that much more difficult for our loved ones that are coming after us. And I don't know about you, but I want to leave something better than what I found. I want to know that when I'm breathing my last dying breath, that I did everything possible to fight for a better world and to leave my mark in a positive way and to be an example for what is possible. And I hope you will join me on that journey. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and play you. We're going to play you the Dark Winter documentary. For those of you who haven't seen it, we're going to end with this Dark Winter documentary. And I hope the audio should come out all right. Hopefully it plays okay. If you don't hear it all right, just visit theconsciousresistance.com and you can see it for yourself. But I just want to say one final thank you to everybody who's been here with me today, who's following my work. Again, the website is The conscious, as in you are a conscious, beautiful, powerful human being. Resistance, as in we are resisting by simply living free and by simply working on our trauma. Not resisting in the sense of fighting for a revolution and going in circles. We are the conscious resistance. You are the conscious resistance. We are holistic activists. We are holistic anarchists. And we are working on creating a better world. And I really hope you will join us on that journey. Please sign up for our email newsletter. Sign up for our text list. Follow on Float, follow on DLive, follow on BitChute Library. I'm going to keep doing this no matter how small the audience grows. And if I have to go back to printing out flyers, whether in English or Spanish, I will continue to do it. I'm never going to give up, and I hope you guys never will as well. So please check out the Darkest Winter documentary now, and I will talk to you soon.
Without better planning, 2020 could be the darkest winter in modern history.
Britain is braced for a dark winter as new measures are deployed to stem a surge of coronavirus.
New signs of a fall surge and perhaps an even more painful winter as coronavirus cases soar in the U.S.
We're about to go into a dark winter. A dark winter.
This message is for anyone who has concerns about the upcoming U.S. elections, the potential for chaos and civil unrest, or those who fear what a second wave of COVID-19 could mean for the future of humanity. If you have found this message on your own, please share it with your friends and family. If someone you care about recommended this to you, please watch it and do so with an open mind. We are in the last few months of a tumultuous year, and it appears that there might be more unprecedented events on the way. As we near election 2020, it's important to step back and analyze the potential plans of the predator class. Specifically, it's important to understand a number of recent government simulations and exercises. First, let's look at the exercise known as Event 201. 1 year ago, on October 18th, 2019, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation partnered with the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security and the World Economic Forum on a high-level pandemic exercise known as Event 201. Event 201 simulated how the world would respond to a fictional coronavirus pandemic known as CAPS, which swept around the planet. The simulation imagined 65 million people dying, mass lockdowns, quarantines, and censorship of alternative viewpoints under the guise of fighting disinformation, and even floated the idea of arresting people who question the pandemic narrative.
The outcome of the CAPS pandemic in Event 201 was catastrophic.
Coincidentally, one of the players involved with Event 201 was Dr. Michael Ryan, the head of the World Health Organization's team responsible for the international containment and treatment of COVID-19. Dr. Michael Ryan has called for looking into families to find potentially sick individuals and isolate them from their families. Due to the vast web of connections between Bill Gates and nearly every organization connected to the COVID-19 fight, a growing number of researchers are questioning the motivations of Gates and other officials involved in the Event 201 exercise. Crimson Contagion and Clade X. Another important exercise was known as Crimson Contagion and simulated an outbreak of a respiratory virus originating from China. From August 13th to August 16, 2019, Trump's Department of Health and Human Services, headed by Alex Azar, partnered with numerous national, state, and local organizations for the exercise. According to the results of the October 2019 draft report, the spread of the novel avian influenza, named H7N9, resulted in 110 million infected Americans, 7.7 million hospitalizations, and 586,000 deaths. Another simulation known as Clade X took place on May 2018. This event examined the response to a pandemic resulting from the release of a fictional virus known as Clade X. In the simulation, the virus was released by a terror group called A Brighter Dawn. As the outbreak spread through the United States, the participants asked what would be needed if the president issued a federal quarantine, noting that the authorities would need to, quote, determine the level of force authorized to maintain quarantine. The Clade X exercise also resulted in the federal government nationalizing the healthcare system. The leaders of these controversial pandemic simulations that took place before the coronavirus crisis have long-standing connections to the U.S. intelligence and U.S. Department of Defense. Even more troubling is that key players in the exercises, specifically Event 201 and Clade X, share a common history in another biowarfare simulation known as Dark Winter. The Darkest Winter. The Dark Winter exercise took place in June 2001, only months before the 9/11 attacks. This exercise took place at Andrews Air Force Base in Camp Springs, Maryland, and involved several congressmen, a former CIA director, a former FBI director, government insiders, and privileged members of the press. The exercise simulated the use of smallpox as a biological weapon against the American public. During the Dark Winter exercise, authorities attempted to stop the spread of dangerous misinformation and unverified cures, just like with the Event 201 simulation. Dark Winter further discusses the suppression and removal of civil liberties, such as the possibility of the president to invoke the Insurrection Act, which would allow the military to act as law enforcement upon request by a state governor, as well as the possibility of martial rule. The script says martial rule may, quote, include, but are not limited to, prohibition of free assembly, national travel ban, quarantine of certain areas, suspension of the writ of habeas corpus, and or military trials in the event that the court systems become dysfunctional. What is important to know is that Dark Winter was largely written and designed by Tara O'Toole and Thomas Inglesby of the Johns Hopkins Center, along with Randy Larson and Mark Demir of the Analytic Services Institute for Homeland Security. O'Toole, Inglesby, and Larson were directly involved in the response to the alleged anthrax attacks, which took place in the days after September 11, 2001. These individuals personally briefed Vice President Cheney on Dark Winter. Coincidentally, Event 201 was co-hosted by the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, which is currently led by Dark Winter co-author Thomas Inglesby. Tara O'Toole was also a key player in the Clade X simulation. The name for the exercise comes from a statement made by Robert Cadleck, a veteran of the George W. Bush administration and a former lobbyist for military intelligence and intelligence contractors. In the script, Cadleck states that the lack of smallpox vaccines for the U.S. population means that it, quote, could be a very dark winter for America.
Angie, it means it could be a very dark winter for America.
Cadleck is now currently leading the HHS's COVID-19 response and was also involved in the Trump administration's 2019 Crimson Contagion exercises. Eerily, Cadleck's statements in the 2001 exercise were recently repeated nearly word for word by Richard Bright, former director of Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority. Bright was recently celebrated as a whistleblower who attempted to hold the Trump administration accountable during the COVID-19 battle. However, While speaking in front of Congress, Bright stated,
"Without better planning, 2020 could be the darkest winter in modern history."
Now, maybe Bright is simply a concerned scientist warning about the potential for more sick people, but his use of the phrase darkest winter is hard to ignore here. When hearing the statements from Cadlick and Bright, we ought to consider the corporate media's promotion of a potential second wave of COVID-19. Bill Gates and other influential pundits and health authorities have consistently warned about a second wave, which was slated to arrive in the fall of 2020. As of mid-October 2020, reports are beginning to come in that cases are on the rise. This is what makes the statement from Richard Bright all the more concerning. This leads us to a number of recent simulations of the 2020 US election, which have resulted in chaos and potential civil war. It would be easy to dismiss these exercises as politically driven fantasy if the people involved had not already publicly advised their candidates not to concede the election under any circumstances. Most recently, media reports indicated the Transition Integrity Project held a number of exercises simulating what might happen in the event that Donald Trump loses the 2020 election but refuses to leave office. The TIP itself is a secretive group made up of never-Trump neocon Republicans and Democrats associated with the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton. The Boston Globe reported that the TIP met in June to simulate the 11-week period between Election Day on November 3rd and Inauguration Day on January 20th, 2021. The exercises state that, quote, "Trump and his Republican allies used every apparatus of government, the Postal Service, state lawmakers, the Justice Department, federal agents, and the military to hold on to power, and Democrats took to the courts and the streets to try to stop it." The TIP envisioned one scenario where Trump wins and Biden refuses to concede and instead asks for a recount and makes several demands, including to give statehood to Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico and divide California into five states. In the exercises, Joe Biden is played by John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign manager and the chief of staff to former President Bill Clinton. The simulations essentially end in a constitutional crisis where there is no clear president and the Supreme Court, or possibly the military, play a deciding role. This unprecedented event could be disastrous for American life, as it is very likely that activists from both sides of the vote would take to the streets to protest what they believe is a theft by their opponents. And if you think protests and fights between extreme leftists and extreme right-wingers are contentious now, just wait until they both feel shafted during the presidential election. Those opposed to Trump will claim Biden won and Trump is attempting to steal the election and create a fascist dictatorship. The Trump supporters will say the satanic radical leftist Democrats are attempting a coup to establish a communist police state. The result will be neighbor turning against neighbor, family members disowning one another, and some political activists may escalate their tactics from protest to violence. Other groups were similarly engaged in war games that predicted complete chaos in the United States on Election Day, as well as the imposition of martial law. This includes the Operation Blackout simulations conducted by the U.S.-Israeli company Cyber Reason. The company has considerable ties to the U.S. and Israeli intelligence community. Operation Blackout involved hackers taking control of city buses around the U.S., crashing into voters waiting in line at polling stations, hacked traffic lights causing accidents, and the release of deepfakes to manipulate the public. The simulation resulted in the cancellation of the 2020 election and the imposition of martial law. While Donald Trump continues to stoke the flames of division and uncertainty surrounding election 2020, the establishment is also preparing for the possibility of martial law in response to this chaos. Meanwhile, the public is being prepared for a second wave of COVID-19 infections, which could lead to the foreshadowed darkest winter. While I don't care to instill fear, I do encourage everyone to heed these warnings and be prepared for potential unrest in the days and weeks following the election. Are you prepared? In conclusion, I believe we may have a narrow window of time to inform our friends and family and motivate them to prepare for what may be on the horizon. We can spend our time attempting to convince them of the lies of COVID-19. We can also try to educate them about the numerous exercises predicting chaos and civil unrest across the United States. As important as education is in this information war, now might be the time to focus our energy on helping our families be prepared for what may come. Rather than attempting to convince them to see what you see or believe what you believe, perhaps we can simply help keep them safe until they can clearly see the writing on the wall. Again, if you are hearing of these exercises and topics for the first time, please listen with an open mind. I also want to emphasize that I don't say these words in hopes of inspiring fear or stress. In fact, I hope that this analysis can paint a clear enough picture of the grim reality that we are facing so that we may act. It is only by honestly facing our circumstances that we can hope to influence and change the path of humanity. This is a historic time to be alive, and we have the opportunity to play a powerful role. It's time to shake off the shackles and expose those who seek to hold us back for their own sick purposes.